didn't work at all, did it? Hey, we got to have all the switches in the right positions.
Are we in audio?
Yes.
We're alive?
We are live. Well, as live as can reasonably be expected.
Let me rephrase that. On the air?
On the air part, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right, good. Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to the Hour of Truth. And we had... we were sitting here discussing Romans and the in relationship to the Israelites and the deliverance that the Lord had for them. And it's part of the reason, it's the last thing he was talking about, last thing Phil was talking about was, trust in the Lord, lean not on my own understanding. You know, it didn't look to the natural like there was any way that you could understand that deliverance was coming to Israel. Here's the Red Sea, here we are being chased by Pharaoh. And Moses raises up his arms, Red Sea parts, and they go down and across. And Phil kind of left that there, and left them there. And I said, you know, Phil, something else happened there. The sea came back down on the Pharaoh and all of his... horses and riders and such.
Well, let me, you know, let me just say this. I mean, because here, you know, it seemed clearly we went over to Exodus this past week with a few other people in the Bible study and seen the baptism of blood of them, you know, Pharaoh saying, get on out. Yeah. And Paul, what Paul brought up was a good point. And then I said, you know, there's the baptism of blood. And then the first, you know, the Lord killed all the firstborn. And then they were, hey, get out of Egypt. Right. And then, you know, you said the thing that was beautiful about that was, and I was talking with these folks, and here's the resemblance of the baptism of blood there. And then I said, I know the Red Sea parting is the baptism of water. There's a sign example of baptism of water. And Paul, I said, I don't know how that's going to play out, guys. This is what I told, I think, Angie and crew last time. I don't know how that's going to play out, but we'll see as we go through it. And, you know, Paul... You know, I mean, the Lord's good because He wants you to know His word and He wants you to know His way. And, you know, the Lord, as, you know, as Paul sat there and said, you know, hey, Phil, there's something else that happened was they weren't quite yet delivered until the water swallowed up Pharaoh and his army.
Right.
And I said, yeah, you're right. Hence the baptism of water. I mean, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead to the flesh. We shouldn't live there anymore. Longer therein. Pharaoh was killed. They were in bondage to that. They were in bondage to them as slaves. They were killed, swallowed up, done, finished. And it's the same likeness there. And I said, you know, whew, praise God. You know, and the other thing was that I kind of seen as I was going through that was one that was, you know, I was taking a look and we were talking about the gifts of God that were given to us. You know, you got the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles and prophets for the perfecting of the saints.
Right.
And then we have our disciples. One of the things as I shared this past week, as I was in the midst of changing the tires on our team, all I could see was the team. Yet, but when I manage, I can see from an out point view to see to make what adjustments. And that's what these gifts are. They're looking out, looking in, and they can see. Oh, that's hindering me here. Or that's hindering them there. Mm-hmm. That's hindering them there. That's a hindrance. That's keeping them from the Lord and partaking of all He has for you. That's and yet right. That's what they're there for, to relieve this. It's a blessing, guys.
Right.
To have them. And the other thing was, what was that other thing I talked about, Paul? that we just put way too much stock in our own understanding.
Right.
I mean, as you were saying before, I mean, you know, how is this possible? Here's Pharaoh and his army coming down, and the Red Sea's right there. But our own understanding looks at that in that way. But in it, trusting the Lord and how good and awesome He is.
And, you know,
His deliverance.
It's a true statement that you're not going to, by your own understanding, believe. Belief right. doesn't come through understanding God's word. It doesn't come through understanding a minister's, a preacher's sermon. It comes. Belief is something you choose to do.
Exactly.
Amen. And then the Lord opens stuff up to you and you get understanding.
Right. Exactly. And that was, you know, I mean, that was the other point there was we're talking about being of one accord for the body.
Right.
You know, and all kinds of people are on one accord for all different types of things.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean for the body's sake.
No.
Or the body of Christ or any idea of Jesus Christ and acknowledgement of Him and having the same mind as right. Him. So, but one of the things was that when Joshua and Caleb went to the promised land and gave that good report, it's ours for the taking.
Right.
Yet they were not standing on their own understanding of what was going on. No, they were standing on the promise of God that was given unto them.
That's right.
And that's what we need to stand on, is the Word, what His Word says, not what we come into contact or what we think we understand or what we think we may believe. No, but what His Word says.
That's right.
You know?
And that's to paraphrase, it's foolishness to those that are perishing. It's foolishness. Yeah. That's the dumbest thing in the world to do.
Like, because they're yet in their own understanding.
Right. The testimony of Steve, you know, the least likely thing to be true, he thought would have been Christianity, anything to do with it. And you know, the Lord was able, in spite of that, to be able to reach him. And you know, he was absolutely not looking for him.
Oh, absolutely not.
And you know,
actually, I mean, believe it's kind of really just utter up against the whole idea of it.
Yeah,
up against it.
Absolutely. So, you know,
Whole doctrine of it.
Yeah, the Lord is perfectly capable and willing to deliver you when you've chosen Him first. And if you've chosen Him, then you're about His stuff and not your own stuff. And the that's a scary thing, because you know, I didn't spend a whole lot of time contemplating whose stuff I was about. And you really have to judge yourself. But what does Paul tell the Corinthians?
If we judge not ourselves, we be not judged.
Right.
I mean, if we judge ourselves, we be not judged.
Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. And the without that examination, you can fancy yourself a doer of the word, but you know, that's where you're talking about the management perspective. It tells you, you know everything is going on, you see everything is going on, you're able to make adjustments. If you don't have somebody pointing these things out to you, then you never know that you're not doing his thing. And we are given those gifts for that, those gifts over us.
For that purpose.
For that purpose. And, you know, apostles are perfecting the saints. And how do we end up with me having to go to Ephesians? I don't know, but somehow we did. So, let me get there. This is an example of how the Lord gives you everything you need, not to do your own thing, to do His thing.
Amen.
All the provision that you could ever dream of is yours, as long as you're doing His thing.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's what, I mean, one of the things we kind of talked about here today. I mean, you look at James, he's like, you receive not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lusts. And what you have there, if it's all about you and doing your own thing, the Lord's not going to honor that, because it's all about you and not about Him. But if you're about doing His thing, He's more than happy to give you everything you need to do it.
And
He's already made a way for all that. I mean, what do we get? We get the freedom from those things that hold us back. Why do we get that freedom, the things that hold us back, to go forward in glorifying the Father and doing the will of the Father? Not our own will, but His will.
Right. It's, in Matthew, it's simpler than that. It's simpler than that. Matthew's, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Everything you need. But seeking the kingdom is a choice. It's something you have to wake up every day and do, because, or however many times a day it takes to do that. This is not our default drive. This is not how we are. And every day it's like it's time to reboot. Turn that thing off and start it again. Because it's all locked up in itself. And it's just, it's scary now, because when you get a concept of that, and then you have to keep doing that reset, because it scares me not to be doing His thing. And, it is humbling how easy we get knocked off the rails.
Sin so easily besets.
What do you think the word says that for? I mean, that's just simply the way it is. So, I think, what should we look at? We should look at, let's look at Romans 6 a little bit.
Romans 6.
See what
all right.
we can get up, get going here. That sin that so easily besets us is in like Hebrews 12, right?
Yes, sir.
Read.
Verse 1?
Yeah.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein?
The idea that where sin did abound and grace did much more abound is... not a reason to be able to go out there and sin just because you can receive grace?
No.
If we... and it is true that this old dead man here is it's just like Adam in the garden, where the serpent tells Eve, "Oh, you sure won't most surely die." I mean, come on. Adam ate of the fruit, and he was a walking dead man. The spirit departed. The righteousness departed. He was a walking dead man.
He cut off from the spirit, right?
And it took him a while to expire, but he did.
I mean, that's why you have that, you know, that you're just like a rose. You cut it off the bush, it could be in a bud, it can bloom, flower, but then it wilts away. It's cut off from the source.
Yep. And this body that we're walking around is a housing unit. It's all it is. And its gut is going to expire. But by choosing to reckon it dead now, you can become by faith alive in Christ.
Amen.
And that's the I'm getting ahead of the text here, but let's read verse 3.
Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
Okay. Now, the whole purpose in this is that by faith we died with Christ, and by faith when he resurrected in new life, we can be in him in a new life.
Amen. And
that's something we on our own could not achieve.
Absolutely not.
And is it the magnitude of that gift, comes out of having read chapter 5. Because he didn't sit around and wait for us to get ourselves right. Like that could happen. He died for us while we were still his enemy. And still in rebellion. And
while we were at our worst.
At our worst. So, by faith you're buried with him in baptism, and you come up out of the water into a new life in him.
That's right.
It's the only time you can be a partaker of that new life. The only reason you can is because he did, and he offered you to receive and be a partaker of his resurrection. And what was Paul say in Philippians? That, the mystery is to know him and to be a partaker of his suffering, and fellowship of his suffering, and the power of his resurrection. And we are given in him the ability to learn the Lord's ways and like, in Israel, there was only one, Moses. And he kept trying to teach Israel the Lord's ways. You've seen my power, now you learn my ways. And,
but you know, what the key to that is, you know, like you said in chapter 5, it sets that up. Christ died for the ungodly.
Right.
While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what we have
ding, 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 ding. I am the ungodly.
Right, exactly. But the thing was humility there. You know what I'm saying? It's knowing that you need him.
Yeah.
I mean, the take that upon is knowing that you're not justified by your own works and you're not right or there's nothing you can do.
Right. That came as a big comfort to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't know. I'm not really so much into the ceremonial stuff.
Well, and not only that, you know, you were justified by anything you did or anything you did was right.
Yeah.
And you weren't justified by that and you weren't confident in that.
And the Lord showed great mercy. Where are we at?
I mean, by your own standing.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Where were we?
We're in verse 5.
Okay, read.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin.
That's right. And this, it was pretty plain the way it is, right? I mean, and if you can agree with that, then you can, if you get that, then you can receive from him. I mean,
that's kind of like what I was, that's what I'm kind of meant to say. In the receiving that gift is realizing that you need it.
Yeah.
That you have nothing to stand on. Not your own rightness. You're not justified. None of these things.
But that's the great, really promise. That's, if we have been planted together in the likeness of the death, if then, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And
it's like you just don't have to. Right, exactly. And you don't have to be subject to the flesh that is dead. In bondage, exactly. You don't have to be. He's freed you from that.
The idea that knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, how great is that?
It's an awesome thing.
Because, yeah, it's like the song says, "Pay the debt I could not pay. I had a debt I could not pay, and he paid a debt he didn't owe."
Yeah,
and that's where we are. And this is just an exceedingly great promise that in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Sin doesn't have to rule us anymore. Amen. We have a choice now.
Amen.
We can serve him. For he that is dead is free. Free from sin. No more. Don't have a shackle anymore. You didn't stand a chance before Jesus let you become a partaker in his death and a partaker in his resurrection. Now you've got a chance. Now you've got a choice. He's good. He's good.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God.
Right. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him. And Colossians says, set your affections on things that are above and not things here on the earth. For ye are hid with Christ in God. I skipped something there, but when he is revealed, when he shall be revealed, you shall be revealed with him in glory, for you are hid with Christ in God. That's what it says, right? Something like that. That's how this works. That's what's going on here. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, not to die anymore, now he's got his glorified body, right? And death has
no more dominion,
no more rule over him. For
and we're in him by faith.
We get to be partakers of that. We get to be partakers of that. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And we're there, right there, with him. So, that's some good stuff there. Did we do 11?
No, we did not. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof.
Now that, again, is a choice you make.
That's right.
Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. And
I mean, that's a choice. That's a commandment here.
Don't let it rule
over you. You don't now. You know it says, "But and he that he liveth unto God, look, he liveth unto to do his will."
That's right.
And in the same manner, this thing doesn't have dominion over us. If we dwell in him by faith, death have no more dominion over him, but we can do the will of God.
So we're free to do his thing.
Exactly.
I mean, why else? Boy, that was ugly. Oh, me, everything went blank on the screen. That would have been a scary thing had it actually happened and stayed that way.
You said, why else? And that is...
Yeah.
Why else would he have done?
Right. What's
the purpose of it?
He's actually provided us an opportunity to learn his ways and find out what pleases him. And therefore, we're given an opportunity to have him change us into his thing. Because we have to be changed into his thing, because we're not about his thing. We're about our thing. Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield
That's another decide. Let not sin. Don't give it place. Don't.
Here you are freed from. You know, it says that you should obey.
You have a choice here now,
right? This. You should that you should obey. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You have a choice. You don't have to. You know, there's that free gift.
And previously, you had no choice.
Exactly.
You were in bondage.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
It's this yield thing. Okay, Lord, I'm here. What would you have me do? It's like submission.
Exactly.
And you know, he has justifiably a place of right standing to be able to require that of us. In order that we may become profitable for him and partakers of his divine nature, become partakers of his inheritance, possessors of the new life, possessors of the new land. Take it. It's yours.
You said, you know, you sat there and said, he has the right. One, he walked in and out.
Right.
You know, you had that song, he paid a debt he did not know. He didn't know that debt. We did.
That's right.
That's why only his sacrifices was acceptable. And he has that same right to ask of us. Why? Because he has given us everything we need to go and do that.
Everything.
By what he has done. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid! Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and I look at that, and you see that clearly. I was talking about Jacob and Joshua and Caleb earlier.
Right.
And one of those things, that was a choice that they could have done very easily. They could yield to the reports of the unbelief and all the guards of man, those guys are giants, we cannot take it, and lean on their own understanding. Or they could yield to Joshua and Caleb, which is, man, that land's good for the taking.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a simple choice there. That was a simple choice. And you know, the thing was, is that they were standing on God's word. Just, this is God's word here.
That's right.
He's given us the freedom. He's given us the choice. He's laid it out for us to either believe his word and what he has done and the sufficiency of what he's done, or to not.
Yep.
And whoever you believe, that's who you're servant to. So if you believe in the unbelief of it, and that sounds weird, then that's, you're the servant of sin there.
Yeah.
But if you believe in the promise of God and his righteousness of what he's done, then you're his servant. You're about him.
So, it is, and we covered this, who yield yourselves to. You're
submitting to.
Yeah. And it's just so much better than we deserve. But we, because we yield ourselves to him, we can actually be used of him. And there is nothing greater. Nothing greater. Keep on.
But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak.
That's pretty good testimony. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, into iniquity and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Keep going.
No. That's pretty good testimony there in 17 and 18. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. He's keeping it simple. And as you have yielded your members to uncleanness and iniquity, in the same manner, yield yourselves servants to righteousness unto holiness.
Amen. You know who pops in my mind when I read that?
What?
It was Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You were just testifying to Steve. I mean, Steve was one that went after what he believed
yeah.
with a vengeance.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, and then, I mean, he was so far left, Davey said he's almost right. I mean, that was Steve.
Yeah, he was out there.
And he was out there. And then he learned how wrong he was. And then yet made a choice to serve God in the same manner he was after in that vengeance to go after that. The same manner to go after that. I mean, you know, I look at my life. You know, I mean, we're so about partying and making myself feel good and about my own thing and going out there and having just a good time. I was about that all the time. Serving this flesh, trying to make it feel better. And as I was so about that, now it's saying, as you were like that, be as unto me now. Be
That's
about my
absolutely
business now.
Right. Absolutely right. So let's...
For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from the righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
Yeah. What do you expect to be getting from this?
Yeah. I mean, you know, how many times have I showed up beat down? And it's like, Phil, what'd you expect? You turned away. You did your own thing. You were after this with a vengeance. And you almost died. What did you expect? And I was in some bad shape. Kissing death. Many times. I mean, you've seen me. Ricky's seen me. Davey's seen me in just a terrible state from going out there after the things of the flesh. In my own thing.
And you're now able to start walking in the deliverance of the Lord. How great is that?
Awesome. So praise God.
What did you expect?
Yeah.
that's really what this is about. Being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and everlasting life. So there's a payoff in that.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said before, you know, I mean, I was one that was like a yo-yo. In and out of this ministry. And now, with, you know, I remember talking to Sue at a time, and I'm just going, you know, dude, it's every time I walk away from this ministry and walk away to do my own thing, yet all these things that the Lord has done, I mean, I just lost. And it was only by the grace of God that, you know, I could see the relationships that I had to turn around and be redeemed. The things that he blessed me with were abundantly above I can ask or think. I mean, these are the things of God that he has given to me and by the grace of him. But yet, when I walked, I mean, had a job, we usually came in jobless, ended up with a job, a good one, that was paying, you know, what I needed. I mean, and his provision was there. And then when I walked away, all those things over a short period of time would have been gone. That's because I walked away.
But speaking of payoffs, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And called us the hour of truth. This is the truth. You don't have to suffer from the wages of sin. You can live in the newness of Jesus' life.
Amen.
And he's got you and ready to deliver you to the Father. You're here, you know, with Christ in God.
Amen. And you have, it was interesting, I was talking with, and one, going back on, you know, the blessings that would come when I would come around
to the Lord,
and the blessings that would come were great. And then when I would walk away from the Lord, all those things were taken away. But you know, even in that was grace. I mean, this is how loving and merciful he was.
Yeah.
And he kept me from dying, and he took those things which he blessed me with, so I can see that I was absolutely in the wrong direction. And that was the grace of God. If things went right, I would have never turned back around. And then the other thing is that eternal life. Do you know how many people, I think it was Tristan was telling me about his buddy that is like, no, man, I'm going to hell. You know, because I did this and that and this and that. And, you know, Tristan's like, no, you don't have to. You don't have to. And once you come to service sometime, you know, and you invite him, hopefully he'll come over sometime. But you don't have to. Here's the free gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
Christ died while we were yet sinners. And that's the point. And there's so many people like, I'm just too bad. No, you're not. God's grace was good enough for me and for others and for all these people. It's good enough for you, buddy. It's good enough for you. And you don't have to. Here's the free gift. You don't have to die into eternal damnation.
That's right.
You can live under Christ. That's why he died. For the ungodly. He needed it. And you don't have to stay there. And you don't have to have this sin reign over you anymore.
That's right.
You don't have to let these things that had held you back from the Lord be the case anymore.
Yep. You know, you see those out there. I was one of them. Who knew they were screwed up. But didn't know what to do about it. And it took a long time. But even that need not be. Because nobody else could break down the gospel as simple as David.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's a stumbling block to those who are seeking to maintain their righteousness. Hey, I'm all right. I'm cool. And it's a grace to those who know that by their own doing, they're screwed up. That guy knows it. He can receive the Lord. Christ died for the ungodly. Ding, 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 ding. I'm there. And he can be too.
Amen.
So, you know, that's the good news, and that's the truth.
And, you know, I was talking, I think, with Lisa the other night, and I remember my dad telling me the gospel when I was real young, but I remember Davey telling me the gospel at 17 years old. And I just went along with the things, and I seen the power of God moved, and I just kind of went along with things. But the one thing that I remembered in the midst of me going out and doing the stupid, idiotic, ignorant things that I was doing, the one thing that I remember being like home in a safe haven was when I spent time with him and Ann and Cheryl and his family. They showed me the love of Christ. God has freed us to be about him and about his love of Christ.
Yep. I think we've about come to another end. A stopping place. And we're just a little early, but that's okay. We can do that. It's another week of the Hour of Truth in the can. Until next week, God bless everybody.
God bless everybody. Thanks for listening.